Pray with me as we continue here. Lord God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together as men and just to talk about life and things that matter. Lord, I pray that anything that's of me tonight would be quickly forgotten and that anything that's of you would stick to our hearts and change our lives. Lord, please transform us through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the stereotype that it casts, but I don't know, I feel in small ways a little pressure like that too. I was actually at Mission Barbecue yesterday, which, you know, pat myself on the back for feeling like a man for going to Mission Barbecue. But I took my wife's toy poodle with me, 8-pound toy poodle, and there's all these men eating outside, and I have to eat outside with my wife's little toy poodle. And I'm saying my wife's little toy poodle, even though we jointly own the dog, but I had to introduce the poodle as like hers because I was embarrassed to have an 8-pound little poodle with me the entire time that I was eating lunch. And I don't know what it is about me that feels the need to explain that. And I had to, every single guy who came over to tell me that the dog was cool, I was like, yeah, well, you know, my hiking dog's at home. I took him out earlier, so, you know, I kind of felt bad leaving the poodle at home. I was embarrassed to have this little pink, you know, pink collared, like, toy poodle with me to eat in public. I actually love her. She's adorable. Like, you know, behind closed doors, I let her snuggle me all she wants. You know, my story is that, you know, I was single for a long time. I'm 36 now, but I was single until I was 35, and so there's a lot for me to try to figure out about, like, what to do with sexual desire as a single man is a big part of my story, you know, and I wouldn't say I was, like, intentionally single. I definitely, in my early 20s, like, really pursued a girl pretty hard and, like, really got crushed pretty hard and, like, kind of got really, I guess, defensive or protective and was really kind of afraid to kind of go through some of that again, and so I got really busy serving the Lord is kind of what I said, and that's how I kind of explained it. That's how I explained it to myself. But honestly, I think I was doing God's work, so that's kind of what I said to myself. So I was kind of like, felt like I was doing the right thing and that someday, like, some girl would come along and fit me. But I realized in the long run that I was really kind of protecting myself from a lot of different things. By focus on serving, the reality was I was filling my life with distraction and busyness to keep from dealing with the pain and the loneliness that I kind of experienced on a pretty regular basis. You know, a lot of my journey was trying to kill my desire or ignore it because I didn't know how to have a healthy outlet for it. When I finally journeyed back into dating again, I got crushed again, you know, and that, I feel like that happens to us, and like, I just didn't know how to bounce back for it because I felt like I was looking so much for affirmation from girls, and I was so dependent on really feeling like their approval of me would make me whole on some level. And every time that I felt like it was met with rejection, it was a crushing blow to me. I actually remember, you could tell I like hidden work, and like later in life, as people were trying to encourage me to date more and to get out there a little bit more, one of the things that they really told me was like, you need to carve out time in your schedule. You have no time in your schedule for dating. And I remember like, all right, I'm going to carve out like Thursday nights. And then I sat at home by myself on a Thursday night, like, well, this sucks. Why did I carve out any time? Like this is awful. Empty time is bad. I remember calling a girl and asking her out on my day off. And her turning me down, and I had planned the whole day off to like, do all these things that I was going to do. And as soon as she turned me down, I was like, I got to get back to work. Like, I was so filling a hole in my life with something I was really good at. You know, like being good at work, being good at ministry in my case. And it's easy to kind of be good at something that's godly and feel fine about it. But I was really masking the fact that I had some desire that I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, there's a good amount of disappointment with God mixed into that. I had really thought that if I kind of followed the rules and kind of like did things the right way, God would reward me in very specific ways. And I had very specific ways that I wanted him to reward me. You know, all this really led to a question of what was really going on with my desire in that season. You know, of course there was a desire for sex. All of us as men can relate to that. But there are also other things going on as well. There was a deep desire to be known and loved as I was. And I wouldn't have been able to tell you that in my early 20s. Yeah, but like I don't think I would have even admitted that if I had been pinned down for it. But I really just wanted somebody to know me, know fully who I was, and accept me and fully appreciate me for who I was. You know, there's a desire just to have someone to talk with about everything. You know, I wanted somebody who really like knew and understood what I was going through that I could actually express things to. And I again, have a vivid memory. I know there's a lot of Young Life guys here. I used to work for Young Life. Young Life actually is where I met the Lord. When I was 24 years old, I have this incredible opportunity. Somebody asked me to speak at a Young Life camp. And, you know, as a 24-year-old, this was like a huge opportunity for me. And I was so excited to have the chance to kind of get to, like, to be the camp speaker. It was a big deal to me. And I remember getting off the phone and holding my phone and thinking, I can't wait to tell. I don't know, I don't think my parents will really get it. No, I don't think my guy friends will be like, cool, man. You know, I was like, but I sat there and looked at my phone and thought, I don't have anybody that would really get it if I told them, and I felt alone in a moment of victory. And I think these things kind of really left an impact on me. Of course, there's a desire to have physical contact. A lot of me just wanted to have my back rubbed at the end of a long day. It's amazing as a single person how long you can go without physical contact, you know? I remember specifically there was a day that I went hiking, and I was down by the river in Pretty Boy Reservoir, one of my favorite places in all of Maryland. And I was reading this book, Journey of Desire by John Eldridge, and it kind of asked this question about what's the desire underneath all the things that you think you want? And I had never been able to answer that before, but I was really kind of sitting there just asking the Lord, what is it that I really am longing for in the midst of all these things that I know I feel unsatisfied with? And the Lord brought one word to mind, and I wrote it down, and it became the prayer of mine for years and years to come. And that word was intimacy. And I know that's not a word we say a lot in male culture. It definitely wouldn't be on Ron Swanson's pyramid of success, right? That's not like, intimacy is not something that a man needs, right, or longs for. But it explained everything about what I really, really longed for and desired. I wanted to be fully known and fully loved, and I desired intimacy above all else. You know, it was a summation of my true desire. And Jesus, the ultimate man, you know, it was something that he desired deeply for us. It's interesting, at the end of his life, when he kind of prayed for all the believers that would follow him, in John 17, this is what he says: my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that we may be one, as that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus desires true, deep intimacy for us. But what does that look like as a single guy? You know, that was something like, in my mind, the only picture I had for that was marriage, was a woman who would really, truly love me and have to be there for me, because that was the vow, right? I didn't really know what that looked like for me in my life as a single man. I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know how to ask for even what I wanted. You know, I finally had to break things into two categories in my life: what I can control and what I can't control. You know, when I started focusing on what I can control, you know, I can take some initiative and be intentional about dating, but I can't control whether a girl likes me or not, right? These are the kind of things that make sense about what we can control and what we can't control. You know, I started committing to really pray about the things that I couldn't control. And God immediately blessed me with a wife. No, that's not what happened. Like, right? Like, I started praying about the things. And here's the thing. I think a lot of times we think, if I get it right, I'll be rewarded. Or if, like, you know, if I start, and I had plenty of well-meaning Christian friends saying, when you're just comfortable with yourself, that's when God will bless you with, like, the things that you really desire. And that just didn't happen. That wasn't part of my story. I had kind of like desire directed, but it led to this longing for something more. And I think the longing was important in itself. Now, longing is a dangerous thing for us because we don't know how to fill it. And we fill it in all kinds of false intimacies. And we're going to talk more about that as the night goes on. But the longing did something really important to me. It started to really bring me in prayer to God, to the one who really could start to do more in my life. You know, I prayed for true courage to take ownership of the things that I could control. One of the things I could control was, I think we need courage is in needing to ask for help. You know, I think most of what we've learned about male culture is that we don't need help. But I found that true courage was being willing to ask for what I need. I had to get over my insecurity of being a burden and step out. One of the big things that hung with me, and this came from that deep-seated insecurity of being rejected, was I thought I must be a burden to the people around me. I had a hard time believing that people actually enjoyed me. You know, I really believed that I was useful. I believed that I was good at certain tasks and that I played an important role. But I had this deep-seated insecurity that I was actually, like, enjoyable to people, that they actually would want to hang out with me, given the choice. And so I would kind of, like, unless I was doing something ministry-oriented when I was pulling people together, I had a hard time putting myself out there to just put myself in situations where I could just be wanted as a friend. I had to get over that insecurity and actually step out and start calling the friends. You know, a lot of my friends had coupled up by the time I got to my late 20s. A lot of my female friends, male friends, married. And so I found myself kind of like not afraid of being a third wheel, afraid of kind of being that extra person who maybe wasn't there. But what I started to find is that when I put myself out there, people would be so excited that I would kind of invite myself into their space. Like, if I called them and just said something like, hey, I don't know what you guys are doing Friday, but I'd love to come by your house. And, like, you know, normally I was the guy reserved for guys' nights, right? Like, I got the guys away from their families. Like, I was like the escape. Yeah, let's all go do a movie or something. Like, it'd be great to get out. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to be around your family. I know that's weird, but as life has passed on and I am not near my own family and I don't have that kind of closeness, I want to be around you and your wife. I want to see you hanging out with your kids. I want to be in the middle of that. And I found that my life was so much more blessed when I actually got over my insecurity of asking for what I really wanted, which was to have a Friday night with their families. You know, you don't need anyone's permission to be in different spaces than where society tells you that you belong. I think as a single guy, I felt like society told me I was only really welcome in certain spaces, but I had to get over that insecurity to put myself out there. I also learned I needed to pursue God differently. A lot of my misplaced desire led me to realize that I didn't have a great picture of who God was. Even as a pastor of a church, I didn't have a great picture of who God was. I felt like he was like holding out on me. And I don't think that's true about God at all. I went on a journey of trying to figure out what it meant for me to kind of pursue God. And honestly, I'm still learning that. Learning to find intimacy with God has been the journey of a lifetime. And I still feel like I'm only scratching the surface of what it means to find intimacy with God. But I can tell you this, there's a longing that we are designed with and nothing outside of God will truly satisfy. And I think that longing is really, really important. And I've learned that being married now on this side of marriage, that longing still exists. There is no true intimacy that we find outside of God in the midst of that. And no one person can satisfy the longings that we're created with. You know, in my late 20s, I had this really cool opportunity to help found an organization called Araminta Freedom Initiative that fights against human trafficking in the Baltimore area. You know, I was passionate about ending human trafficking, to be sure, but to be honest, I was more drawn by the chance to be a part of an 8-person team that would really pursue something like this together. The long hours of kind of like being with each other and praying with each other and tackling something together fit something in my soul. I felt really like I was a part of something that was special. There was such a richness and intimacy in this group. As we kind of pursued the Lord together, it was interesting. Being in God's presence as a group of men and women, there was an intimacy that bonded because we were tackling something that God had a heart for. And for the first time, maybe in my life, I felt valued for how I had handled my sexuality. You know, I think as a single person, we rarely are asked for opinion on sexual matters. I remember I used to mentor a lot of guys in our church, still do mentor a lot of guys in our church, but a lot of times before I was married, when they would get into a dating relationship, they would go to my co-pastor who was married to get like deeper advice. That's how I felt. I felt like I was getting kind of passed over, like, oh, you graduated to Mark. Cool. You know, like, yeah, because he's married and he knows more about sexuality and life. And I kind of felt that way. Like I was like the JV. But the reality was, in this situation, I finally was being appreciated for the fact that like my sexuality matters and how I'd handled women matters in life and it matters to our culture. And I was being sought out for that, which was an important realization for me. There's an importance in sanctification. Now, I hadn't been perfect. In my misplaced desire, I had really fallen into things like pornography. I had fallen into things that had captured my heart. But finding sanctification through men in my church, which we're going to learn a lot more about later, I found that the way I pursued healing, that sanctification mattered on a whole. The muscles that I began to exercise as a single person were the same ones that not only would I use in marriage, but they were the ones that would help to build our community. Like, you know, I think that as I learned to be single well, it mattered in a lot of different spheres, not just for my marriage. You know, the lure of pornography at its core is that it offers cheap intimacy. That's what it is. You think you're looking for sex, but really you're looking for intimacy. You're looking for someone who's always willing to accept you, always willing to take you exactly as you are, always wants you. That's the lure. That's the hook. That's what pulls us in. Pornography at its core, though, is passivity. You know, women are complicated. They're complex. They're to be fought for. They're irritating at times because you fight for them well and it doesn't go your way, right? Even in marriage, this is true. And the lie of pornography, the hook of pornography, is that there's an easier way out than having to battle through things. And the easier way out weakens us as we kind of move forward. When we have true courage to kind of step into the battle, to battle the battles of single people, it's amazing the battles that you get asked into down the road, the battles that you're strengthened for down the road. True intimacy is going to take courage to find. It's going to take overcoming our insecurity. It's going to take emotional courage to be vulnerable, and we're going to hear a lot more about that tonight. Where we are going tonight is going to require true courage. My challenge to you is to truly ask yourself, what is it that you need? That was a hard question for me to answer. What do I actually need? I found that I needed intimacy. I found that I needed deeper level friendships. I found that I needed to invite myself into some spaces so I wasn't alone on a Thursday night. There was a lot of other things that I needed to do along that journey, but what do you need? What's in your control to take ownership of? What do you need to ask the Lord for? What spaces do you need to take initiative and invite yourself into as you pursue wholeness? You know, we won't be made whole just by running from what we don't want to do. It's like the hot stove, right? Don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. Like, this isn't about not just trying not to do things. You need to be running towards some things. We need things to run towards in this journey. So pick some things to run toward. You know, that longing that I have, that longing that you might experience right now, it never really goes away. Marriage didn't solve my longing, and in so many ways I'm grateful for that, because it's the longing that pulls us ever deeper into the Lord and ever deeper into community that we've been designed for. Thank you.